Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve the common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in, and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off this morning, Vic, do you want to share?
Yeah, thanks very much, Steve. My name is Vic, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Vic.
And I'll also say I'm a grateful alcoholic. I'll explain about that a little bit later on. You can tell from my accent that I hail from North America, but I moved to New Zealand 50 years ago, and I did my apprenticeship in drinking in San Francisco way back in the summer of love in the early 60s, middle 60s. Well, basically, I started drinking when I was about 14 years old. I moved to New Zealand, and having done my apprenticeship in alcoholic drinking in San Francisco, I, of course, brought that with me and got my master's degree in alcoholism here in New Zealand. What I didn't realize was that although I thought I was controlling my alcohol intake and that I didn't black out so much as brown out. And to me, drinking alcohol was just a standard thing that I did, like eating, breathing, sleeping, all that sort of stuff. People said I was an alcoholic, and I thought, well, okay, that's an ID. I can wear that. I was still able to manage to be moderately sociable and to hold down a job and get married and do all the things that normal people did. So I thought, what's the problem? Well, the problem was that I didn't realize that alcohol was slowly and insidiously working its way into my personality so that I was becoming a pretty impossible sort of a self-centered, egotistical person. It began to exclude my interests in other people and pretty much a lot of other things as well as it kind of worked its magic. They call it cunning, baffling, and powerful. I would also add to that that it's very patient. And what I didn't realize until I got into AA is that as a functioning alcoholic, which I always called myself, I was actually suffering from an allergy. It was an allergy that was, once I had a drink, the drink would take over and demand that I have more drinks. I could stop for a week or a month on my own sheer willpower, but I had a lot of want power, and my want power was I won't do what other people suggest I should do, which is go easy on the booze, Vic. You know, it's not adding anything to your personality. Well, actually, they were right, because I became an insufferable bore. And in fact, my life and my dreams started to pretty much fall into a real flat pattern. As long as I had something to act as a brake on my drinking, like a job or a wife or stuff like that, I would moderate to within the limits that I could get away with. But left to my own devices, I would hit the road with my pedal metal, my foot to the floor, and drink flat out until I was flat out. Eventually, I got to the point where I had no family. My wife had left me. I had finished my career and retired more or less, and there was nothing left for me to do Except, hey, there was one thing I could do. I could drink 24/7 if I wanted to. Well, alcohol wanted me to, and it wasn't about 2 years into my retirement that I woke up in the ambulance one day. I just had gone to the shops to buy some groceries, and we were headed for the hospital, and the guy in the back shouted to the guy driving, hey, he didn't have a heart attack. He's just come through. Anyway, the doctors at the hospital told me that they'd taken a blood sample and that I was in pretty bad shape, and that they suggested very strongly that if I continued to do whatever it was that I'm doing, I would probably be dead in about 2 years at the outside. That wasn't in my life plan. So I said, well, I don't know basically how I can control this alcohol thing. I just drink and I can't stop now. They suggested AA. Well, I'd heard about AA and I went into a meeting and I heard people that were pretty much from the same kind of emotional background that I was. They had used alcohol as a crutch to carry them through emotional stresses and to celebrate things and to just about any reason at all. And I thought, these guys are all like me. But they weren't drinking, and they were living pretty happy lives. They weren't sick like I was. They had pretty well level-headed ideas and so on and so forth. And I thought to myself, whatever it is that you've got, I want that. And they said, well, if you want what we have, do what we do. And they had this program. They spoke about a higher power. Well, my higher power had always been alcohol. But I could see that this program had power over alcohol, because there were people in this room, this AA meeting, who were alive, and they should have been dead. And I thought, you know, this program has worked for them. Maybe it'll work for me. So I stopped drinking, but then I was left with all of my life problems. Those life problems, however, got pretty reasonably quickly under control. Well, reasonably quickly, 2 years or so, I got a sponsor who showed me how to work something called the steps, and I was able to clean up the wreckage of my past, make amends to people for the stuff that I'd screwed up in their lives and so on and so forth. And the thing was that after a while, I lost the urge to drink completely, and I suddenly thought, hey, I'm not thinking about myself all the time. I'm thinking about what I can do to other people, what I can do with other people. These people have saved my life. I'd be a bit of an ungrateful SOB if I just said thanks a lot and walked out the door and lived my happy life. No. So what I do now is I'm involved in service with this fellowship. I help fellow alcoholics. I learned one thing. The only thing that would cure my alcoholism was one alcoholic talking to another. Doctors, lawyers, judges, prison officers, people who loved me, none of them had been able to help me stop drinking. But this fellowship actually worked for me, and I'm a big advocate for it. So if you're having problems drinking, try AA. It actually does work. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Vic. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship on this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength, and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. Next person to share this morning is John. Do you want to share?
Sure. Hi, my name's John. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, John.
What to say about this program? I've been in the program for a long time. I have some very fixed ideas, I guess you could say, about what alcoholism is all about. And I believe what I hear in Alcoholic Anonymous meetings because it makes sense. It resonates with me, and it just seems to be so true and sensible and all the rest of it. The most important thing for me, though, over the 20-odd years that I've been in AA is that it's relief from drinking, which is ironic because I loved drinking, loved it. I still love it. Now, 20 years later, if I could drink like other people out there, I'd be out there drinking. But, and that's the big but, I'm allergic to alcohol. That simple fact. I am allergic to the stuff that I really, really like doing. So what do you do with in that sort of a situation? The only thing you can do is to stop, which is easier said than done. If you're out there listening to this in the morning and you've come from a party last night, or you're hungover and it really is not a good day today, you'll be, I presume, like I was, which is thinking, I'm never going to drink again. I'm never going to drink again. And that would be the way it was for the rest of that day. Really, really, really meant it. But then I'd start to feel better and I think, oh, it'll be different next time. And it never was. Because alcoholism is a disease. And I know it's a disease because the World Health Organization very clearly said, this is a disease. And if they don't know, well, who would? So I believe that that's the case, that I was born with this disease, disorder, whatever you want to call it. My wife, she can drink, no problem. She puts the cork back in the bottle. Me, I would say, don't be ridiculous. Why would you do that? Why would you waste good alcohol? So, yes, I loved bashing my head against that particular wall, but my God, it was good to stop and stay stopped. And the tricky part for me was staying stopped. I could keep it at bay for a day or even a couple of days or whatever, crawl into work and sort of get through the hangover and stuff. But how do you do that long term? And one of the other basic things that I learnt in this program is taking things one day at a time. And even after all this length of time, I'm still pretty amazed by that, about how can things not be one day at a time? When you think about it, yesterday is history, tomorrow is mystery. Tomorrow hasn't happened yet. Yesterday's already gone. All you can deal with is what's happening today. So the approach that I took when I first came into the program feeling really chronically unwell was to chunk things down, keep it really simple. Just for today, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, the other. I'm not going to drink just for today. I'll see how I get on just for this Tuesday. And then at the end of that day, I thought, I can do it one day, I can do it 2 days. So I did it for 2 days. And that gradually got longer and longer and longer. And the longer I was in the program, the better I felt. And I thought, okay, this is a whole new ball game for me, feeling really good all the time. The only way I knew how to stay stopped was, and I still don't know how this works, to be quite honest, was to talk to other people who are in the same situation. People who have gone through what I went through, so I didn't have to explain it in great detail. They knew exactly. We're all talking on the same page. And they all looked happy and well and glad to be alive and all that sort of stuff, unlike the way I felt. And I thought, well, if they can do it, I can do it too. And so for the first year, I think I just bumbled along and went to meetings when I could, and I wasn't in a good space at all. And then I started, not the first year, actually, a little while, and then I started to come right. And I thought, okay, this is a good thing. This is the solution to my problem. And my problem was that I didn't have an off switch. My problem was that I could not actually think of a good reason to go to a party and not drink. I mean, I used to say to myself, who would go to a party and not drink? It's like going to the pub and not drinking. Of course you'd drink. But that's okay for all those other folks out there who aren't allergic to alcohol. But I was allergic. So my first drink tipped me over the edge, and because I couldn't come up with any good reasons as to why I shouldn't drink another second drink. And I've had those two and I'm still not dead, I'll have a third one. And you know how it is, so on and so forth, just keep going. And I got drunk every time I drank. Because I couldn't see the point of stopping. I could not see the point. So in that sense, I think people who are not candidates for AA, perhaps, maybe, you know, some people in the world just don't need it. It's suggested, I think, in our big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is, by the way, the manual we have, if you like, that if you think you're not an alcoholic, okay, go out for 6 months, try it and see how you get on. But I often sit in meetings thinking, okay, all these people are here because they got to this point where they thought, okay, I need to do something more than I was doing to get over this stuff. And that's what the meetings are for. They're free. They're everywhere. We are lucky in Auckland. There are meetings every day of the week. And all you've got to do is bowl up. You don't have to talk. You don't have to say anything if you don't want to. They're only for an hour, so it's not a big deal or anything. There's no money. You don't have to pay or anything. And you know, then you can just sit there and soak it up for a while and see whether you can relate to it, because I certainly did. All of a sudden, these people were talking about stuff that made sense to me, and I thought, yep, they're like me. I'm like them. We are all like each other. We're all in the same lifeboat, it says in our big book. The ship sunk, and everybody's in the same lifeboat. We're all trying to stay alive. So, yeah, I can't talk enough about how wonderful I think the program is, but I've also got to acknowledge, you know, some people want to, some people don't. But I would suggest the program never actually tells you what to do. That's the other thing I liked about it. There's no sort of, oh, you must do this, you must do that. If you are inclined to follow the suggestions, then it virtually guarantees you stay sober, which I think is a big claim to make, but it virtually guarantees it. Providing you do what they do and say and think what they think. And I'll finish off by saying just very quickly, there are 12 steps in the programs of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they take you through step by step by step to the point where you can actually start giving back, as we are now, by coming on air like this and telling other people about our experience, our strength and our hope. So I hope that if you're in that category and you want to stop, there is a solution. Thank you.
Thanks, John. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship on this morning, and we're sharing our experience, strength and hope about our journey of recovery from alcoholism. The next person to share is CJ. Do you want to share?
Yeah, hi. My name is CJ, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, CJ. Hi, CJ.
Yeah, so my experience with alcohol is it grabbed me and didn't let go very, very quickly, you know. I didn't drink very much growing up, but until I became legal, you know, I'm American, so 21 is the legal drinking age, but I don't know, probably by about 23, you know, everything had pretty much fallen apart. You know, that's just how quickly alcohol took over my life. And was just really, yeah, ripping everything to shreds. But, you know, I kind of put my head in the sand, you know. I just kind of carried on because, you know, I wasn't really... Things hadn't fallen apart yet, I guess, but, you know, they were certainly on their way. You know, by the time that I got into AA, you know, I was just kind of feeling horrible. I was on the verge of losing my wife, desperate, you know. I was just very, very lonely, very, very sick, and that's just kind of what alcoholism will do to you when you... are an active alcoholic. So I wanted to do something about it finally, and so I managed to get myself to a big book meeting, which is AA has a variety of different meetings, you know, and a big book meeting is where they read a little bit out of the big book, and people will you know, share on that story or that chapter. And the chapter they read was about this this young man who was in university, and I think he ended up falling out of a window. But his story, I was sitting there listening to it, and it was just my story, you know, what this this young guy was going through when he finally got sober, you know, because that's what happened to me. Everything fell apart in college, really. And I remember the first thought I had at that meeting was just, oh, my God, I'm not alone, you know. It's not just me. And that was huge for me. I mean, someone had to give me some tissue boxes, you know. I had my head in my hands. I was like, oh, my God, like, you know, I'm not alone. I mean, I was a very lonely, lonely alcoholic. And so it was such a relief to find a place like AA to go to, and it still is, you know. It's a daily reprieve from my disease, this program, and you know, I appreciate that, and enjoy the work that has to be done. You know, it is an action program. You know, there are things that need to be done in order to maintain my sobriety, but you know, I find them to be quite enjoyable. And, you know, I do have friends now, you know, I've got, you know, just the ability to pick up the phone and call somebody is, it seems so simple, but for me it was a very serious step forward because, you know, alcoholism had taken that away from me. You know, I'd finish work and I'd come home and close the curtains and start drinking, you know. I wouldn't even really talk to my wife. That was just kind of where alcohol had led me. And then now I know that, you know, even if I don't know anybody in that room, I know they're all my friends when I show up. And that's comforting, you know. I know there's a place for me to go to be around like-minded people. And, yeah, only an alcoholic really knows what I'm going through, you know. And the flip side of that and the powerful thing for me is that I know what another alcoholic's going through. I know maybe there's some way I could help another alcoholic, and that, yeah, is inspiring for me. They say, you know, helps you stay sober when you help other alcoholics stay sober. And I believe that. That being said, you know, I'm someone who's early in sobriety. I'm not someone who's been around for years. But I am around today, which is, you know, the only day to worry about. And if that kind of is discouraging, it shouldn't be, you know. Sharing your story or just saying hi, those are ways that you can help alcoholics. I have a sponsor, and one of his favorite stories to tell me now, because I've done most of the steps, you know, I am in kind of the part of the program where you start trying to help other alcoholics, and he tells me, just say hi, just be there, you know, just go and live the program. That's how you help other alcoholics. And that really just kind of brings to a point how simple the program is, you know. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. And I try to do that any way I can, especially when I get cool opportunities to come do it on a radio show, you know. It's cool to do. And then, you know, the sobriety kind of does reopen the doors for you. There's a social aspect to sobriety as well. We're not a bunch of weirdos who always sit in rooms and do nothing, you know. AA itself has events, and there's, you know, weekend retreats and stuff. You know, if you're out there, I don't know. For me, you know, I'm I guess young. I'm 28, so, you know, there are other 28-year-olds in AA to go do young people and Alcoholics Anonymous things. I'm not ragging on anybody, you know, but, you know, I mean, it's the point I'm trying to make is, like, that AA's got, it opens so many doors. There's so many things within the AA program for you to find that you'll enjoy, and you know, it just all starts with willingness. You know, you got to be willing to stay sober. And when I do that, you know, the fun starts. The things that I enjoy start. The making breakfast for my wife starts. All the good things that I want in life come from my sobriety, you know, and AA is the place I go to get my sobriety. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Sir James. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship on this morning, and we've been sharing our experience, strength and hope about our journey of recovery from alcoholism. In the sharing this morning, it was mentioned about the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and particularly the chapter How It Works, and I thought I'd just read that now. It's sort of the text for the AA program. Rarely have you seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we are dealing with alcohol, cunning, baffling, and powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God, and may you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing, and we stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And finally, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we carried this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And many of us exclaimed, what an order, I can't go through with it. Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress, and we claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic and the chapter to the agnostic and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he was sought. So that's the chapter out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, how it works, outlining the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and the steps that we take as part of the program. So as you heard this morning, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous works. It's worked for many of us for a long time. And, you know, we get relief from our alcoholism. And when I came here, you know, I didn't really know what I wanted. I just wanted things to be different. For me, I didn't want to stop drinking. I wanted everything about my drinking to change. And that's what I thought I'd find here. And then they told me it was abstinence from drinking. And that didn't go down too well. I didn't know what to do. So I hung around, and why I hung around is that I could see that there were some people that had some quality about their living, and that's what I wanted, and I wanted that without drinking. And I stayed, and the program has worked for me. So you've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. If you've identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz. And or you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. We'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air, and we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.